Let's go ahead and get started here. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I am Daniel Odell, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me, other members of the BZA, tables across the room, right over here actually, are staff members, city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance back there. Pursuant to today's BZA administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, a motion and then a second, and then further discussion among board members, then a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker, may allow more time for more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have previously been presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. And then finally, appeals of decisions by the BZA are made to the Knoxville City Council. Petition for such appeal shall be filed with Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Forte to call the roll.
Daniel Odell.
Present.
Ebony James.
Present.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here.
All right, thank you very much. Okay, we need to start with our minutes from last month's meeting. Have any other board members able to review them and willing to make a motion to approve our minutes from last month?
Hi, Ebony James, make a motion to approve the minutes last month as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. All right, then we're on this month to new business. I don't believe there's any old business for us to consider at this point in time. So, first agenda item today is 9A21VA, which is on 4410 Western Avenue. Here to speak to this item, will you please step forward? Is it Ashley Smith, I believe? Here. That's okay.
Mr. Chair, is it 9A?
Oh my goodness, I've just misread. I'm sorry. 9A21VA is 9303 Wedby Drive. I apologize. Jeremy Matthews, that would be up first. Whoever's here to speak to that. I'm sorry, is there anyone here to speak to 9A21VA 3909 Wedby Drive? No? Okay, seeing no one here, I would like to make a motion that we postpone this agenda item to, for the time being, we'll postpone to the end of the meeting.
Second. Do you need a second on that or?
Motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We'll pick that up just to make sure that someone's not coming in late. Now the 9B21VA, 4410 Western Avenue. You would state your name and address for the record real quick.
My name's Ashley Smith. The address is 4410 Western Avenue, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37921.
Ashley, thank you. I need to ask briefly, any further comments from the city other than what was sent to us earlier today?
No further comments.
Ashley, if you would tell us about your variance request and what your hardship is for this request.
Yes. The original variance request submitted was for a new constructed sonic pylon at an overall height of 25 foot. The hardships we are trying to accommodate and meet the newly made aware landscaping requirements while also maintaining visibility of this new sonic pylon sign. The owner is required to plant trees along Western Avenue and Randy Tyree Street. They will start at an overall height of 10 feet, and at maturity date, they can reach anywhere from 14 to 16 feet. The trees will block the frontage of the building as well as the view of the pylon from various points of view. And there are also existing QSR restaurants along Western Avenue that have a taller overall height than the allowed 20 foot.
Okay, thank you very much. Ashley, did you tell us what your hardship is on this?
Yes. The hardships we're trying to accommodate the landscaping requirements. We were just made aware of as of yesterday, September 20th. And based on those requirements, the client also asked us to increase the overall height from the submitted 25 foot to 35 foot. I knew we were supposed to have that in by Friday, but I just was made aware of the new requirements yesterday.
Are we allowed to hear this, if they've increased the variance? Are we allowed to rule on that this month?
Today, I think, based on the publication notice in the New Sentinel, you can hear the variance request up to 25 feet, which was published, but probably not anything higher than that.
With that knowledge, there's a choice that you can make. You can choose to withdraw and resubmit for next month's meeting, or we can hear up to 25 feet.
We will withdraw and resubmit.
Okay, that'd be great. Let's do that.
I'm sorry. So, could you repeat the part about this was written and published based on the conversation that we had? So, I'm sorry, I missed the part about what you found out yesterday.
Yes, I was made aware that there are new landscaping requirements for the lot. They are having to plant various types of trees that start at 10 feet tall, and then at maturity date, they can get anywhere from 14 to 16 feet. And they run along Western Avenue and Randy Tyree. And I have a site plan that shows the trees as well as the tree requirements by the city of Knoxville.
Okay. What I can say is that we've been working with the landscape architect for this project, and they are aware of the landscape requirements. So that's a separate process that's going through. I'm not sure how that affects your sign, but you want to sign to 35 feet now.
That's what the customer asked me as of yesterday.
Okay,
yes.
That's what I meant. Okay. Well,
yeah. And so with that, are they actually withdrawing the request and resubmitting, or is it just an adjustment? What's the process?
I have the documents that reflect the 35 feet that I can present today if needed.
It'll need to be postponed until next month. Okay. And so they can revise. You'll just revise your application.
Okay.
It'll still be there. There's no additional fees.
No additional fees?
No.
Okay.
We just need to be able to publish the new request.
Well, we need to attend next month's meeting as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Is that what you want to do?
Correct, yes.
All right, very good. Then I need a motion.
I'll make a motion. We postpone 9-B-21-BA until October's BZA agenda.
Second.
All right, motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is 9C21BA, which is 5213 Homburg Drive. If you're here to speak to this, please go ahead and step forward. And while you're on your way, just to check, are there any other additional comments from the city?
I'm here to answer questions. Is this an appeal? My determination.
Very good. Okay, if you would, please name an address for the record.
Taylor Forrester, 1111 North North Shore Drive, Suite S700, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. Have Mr. Jeremiah Webb with me. He's got some documents that he'd like to share with the board.
That'd be great. All right.
You have one of those you can give to our principal secretary for the record. Thank you.
Thank you. Taylor, if you would tell us about your variance request and your hardship.
Well, this is an appeal of the zoning administration's decision.
Tell us about the appeal.
Okay. So, like I said, this is an appeal of the zoning administrator's decision regarding an ancillary use of the property. So what the property is to be used for is a dogtopia. Dogtopia is its primary use is a daytime dog boarding facilities where owners will have a membership to where they, different plans, they come and they drop their dogs off in the morning. They stay there. They play with the other dogs. They have access to recreation time, downtime, and at the end of the day, for the most part, the owners come and pick up their dogs and take them home. Some owners do this a few times a week, some do it every day. So Dogtopia is a franchise and nationwide, I believe, and Mr. Jeremiah Webb has the franchise rights for this, for Knoxville. So the issue that we've come into is Dogtopia does offer its membership, its clients, some overnight boarding, if that is needed. It is a small part of the business, the primary business, 75% is the daytime boarding. So the issue we've gotten into is under Knoxville City Ordinance, the proposed use falls into potentially two categories. It is an animal care facility for small animals or a kennel. And so the zoning administrator has determined that providing the overnight accommodations for the members, for the dogs to stay there, that would then change this from an animal care facility to a kennel. So a kennel is defined as any lot or premise on which five or more dogs more than 6 months age are kept. So in thinking of a kennel and using common sense and judgment, kennels tend to be in more rural areas. The only place that they are permitted by right within the city of Knoxville is on property zoned agricultural. That's because kennels tend to be either solely outdoor with outdoor runs with coverings or an indoor outdoor where the dog can come and go indoor outdoor during its stay. Kennels potentially present problems because dogs bark. Dogs are loud, especially when you have several together. There may be some offensive odor as well. Dogtopia's model for the overnight care for the limited people that they provide that for, the dogs are solely restricted to indoors. They are not allowed outdoors after the daytime operating hours. So again, in our position that is completely different in contrast to a kennel. And looking at the definition for animal care facilities for small animals and for kennels, you have principal use standards that you have to comply with when developing this. And, I point out that our position as to why animal care facilities for small animals does allow overnight boarding is in these principal use standards, specifically section 9.3, subsection A4, which states that animal care facilities must locate all overnight boarding facilities indoors. Animal care facilities specifically say that they are not kennels. Kennels are separate. Kennels have their own definition, their own principal use standards. So when you look at this principal use standard, it is clearly implying or suggesting and contemplating that animal care facilities like what we are proposing here is permitted to have overnight boarding accommodations so long as they are indoors. That during the overnight boarding facility, during the overnight boarding stay, they are not allowed to go be outside, where unlike a kennel, it is. Again, this further separates that, whereas as stated previously, that kennels are allowed to be indoor, outdoor, or solely outdoor, so long as they have a cover, whether that's during the day or overnight. With that, I hope you can support our position in this. Dogtopia will bring a lot of jobs here. It is a good use of the property. Again, the only question we have is this overnight thing, which to me, it seems so minor, especially if the dogs are restricted to the indoors and applying the principal use standards, limited to the indoors. you know, I think that shows why it is not a kennel, and that why evidence is why it is an animal care facility. Again, we can answer any questions. Mr. Webb can answer any questions as to about Dogtopia, the plans. The plans are to hopefully open two additional facilities if the zoning can be rectified for the overnight. Leave on the last page, there's a schematic that shows the building and the layout that evidences the different rooms where the dogs will be housed during the day.
All right, thank you. Did you all just have the one speaker? I'm just checking.
Yeah, I'm just here to answer questions.
Absolutely.
Any questions about the brand?
Sure. Thank you. I need to ask if there's anyone here to speak in opposition or to this real quick. And then I'd like to ask the city to speak. I don't see any opposition. So.
Sure. I'd love to provide some clarity. Article 9, Section 9.1D of the Zoning Code is under the uses and the general use regulations. It says a lot may contain more than one principal use so long as each principal use is allowed in the district. So when evaluating this, we said, yes, it is definitely an animal care facility. And animal care facilities, from my perspective as a zoning administrator, can board up to 5 dogs as part of their business model. Once you get more than 5 dogs overnight, it now also falls under the category of a kennel. And so it's not a one or the other, it's both, because the code says you can have 2 principal uses as long as they're both permitted in that district. In this specific district, you're allowed to have an animal care facility, small animal care facility, which can board up to 5 dogs. But once you get that 6th dog, now you're, and especially if you're marketing, as Dogtopia does, as a overnight boarding facility, we'll let you decide what it's called. Once they market it and provide for more than 5 dogs overnight, it also meets the definition of a kennel, which is a principal use that's not permitted in that district.
Sure. As a matter of process, I will ask you if y'all have a response to that right now before we start asking questions. Anything that was just said?
In researching this, I came across an application for permit to operate a commercial pet facility, and it kind of lays out, including but not necessarily limited to, and it lists commercial kennels, commercial boarding facilities. My question would be, if they're listed as separate things, what are the definitional differences? Can I be a boarding facility without being a kennel? Otherwise, why do you have 2 separate terms listed in your application? Like, I would gladly submit an application and pay the fee to be a boarding facility. What I don't want to do is be considered a kennel, in which case I would have to rezone to a different zoning district that I'm not likely to get approved under. So I think there's some holes in the definitions here that are causing some issues. And I think we've talked about, moving forward, working with the board to perhaps even create an amendment or, clean up the text so that what I'm proposing as a use for this business model can fit under the current zoning animal care facility with boarding that is distinctive from kennel definitions.
Okay. I've got several questions, I'm sure. Just so I'm clear on the what are the zones that the kennel can be approved under? I believe that Mr. Taylor said that it, only agricultural. What's that? I'm sorry.
By right.
And so everything else, any other zoning would be under use under review and that approval?
Yeah, the special use is allowed in the CH zone and the CR zone.
CH and CR.
Which there is none located around this property. Everything's CG here.
Everything's CG.
Or IMU. It's a special use in the IMU as well.
No IMU in there to myself. Justify the rezone.
The address is on the...
In response to the different terms that were brought up, yeah. Those don't come out of the zoning code.
Okay.
They're coming out of Chapter 5 of the city code, which is about animals. And so I will agree, there's probably some, they don't always align.
Especially. Explain that to us, though, when you say city code.
Okay. The zoning code is Appendix B of the city code. I know Chapter 6 is the building code, the various building codes. Yeah. Chapter 5 is called animals, and it has city regulations related to animals. We've got dogs, cats, livestock, rabies, dangerous dogs, deals with animal control.
Yeah.
How many dogs do y'all intend to board overnight based on your current business model?
It entirely depends on demand. I think I have some facts on that sheet. I can hold up to, I believe, 129 dogs. System-wide, they average about 75 per day. That's for daycare purposes.
I'm talking about overnight.
So I'm getting to that. Yeah. So if you're averaging about 75 per day, overnight, I mean, could be up to 75. Realistically, it's going to be heavier during holiday weeks, that sort of thing. I don't have actual percentages I can give you, but each dog that comes to daycare has a crate where they take a 2-hour downtime from noon to two to rest, to eat lunch. Some of them that parents choose to feed them lunch. So in theory, every dog that has a cage in the playroom to take their rest time could also board in that cage overnight. So it could be up to capacity of each room, which is 129. Plus I believe I have 3 to 4 suites, which are kept in different areas of the building that can hold one dog.
I think I can get there. I think the daycare portion is up to 75% of the business. They also factor in the other 25% overnight, basic obedience, some pet grooming, and some pet supplies. So it would be within that remaining 25% divided by those other three things. And again, it can't be just you or I call up. It's like, oh gosh, we're going out of town. You have to have a member, existing membership, which also would restrict the total.
Because the dogs that board also participate in the daycare during the day. We don't just keep them locked up. Right. So we have found that the ones that only board tend to cause more problems during the day, not being accustomed to that environment. So for that reason, we only board dogs that also participate in daycare. So yeah, you're talking maybe a dozen or more. From personal experience, I think it was 7-8, something like that per day when I was out in Arizona doing my training. So that wasn't a holiday week or anything like that, but it's typically a small portion of the dogs that are active in daycare. And I think I put on the sheet, it's not only for people that are traveling, but also a lot of folks that work shifts that require them to work overnight. Sometimes, you know, if they have a 3-day work week where they work overnight, they'll board their dogs during that time too. So it is a benefit, you know, for doctors and, you know, folks like that that work overnight shifts.
So the outdoor play area is out front, retail facing?
It's actually the side of my building.
Okay. I was looking at it.
Yeah, Homburg is kind of the front, the street there. So the building kind of runs long ways front to back.
Okay.
Peter, in the zoning ordinance, as it relates to kennel, does it define or differentiate indoor or outdoor?
It does not.
Does the definition of animal care facility exclude kennels in any way? Or maybe a kennel of a certain size, or maybe like it says, like a kennel not more than six or something like that. Are there any exclusions?
So let me look. I'm I've got to see if it's in the definitions or in the, it's in the definitions.
I think in the comment sheet that, that was provided by the city staff, I think the definition of small animal carrier is the final line in that definition specifically excludes breeders and kennels.
Correct. And that's where we get, that's where we landed on animal care facilities can overnight to five dogs. But because by definition, they exclude kennels, that's where that threshold came into play.
Okay.
So to summarize, animal care facility, small animal, that's defined. And the very last sentence says, animal care facilities do not include animal breeders or kennels. And then when you go to the definition for kennel, it says any lot or premises on which five or more dogs more than 6 months of age are kept.
Okay. So why couldn't we hear a variance for an animal care facility, but vary with the variance on the number of dogs? It'd still be an animal care facility. So the limit is five. Can I not give a variance for 30?
I don't think we've ever heard a variance of a definition.
Well, and I think the issue there becomes if it's not a permitted use, a variance can't be granted to allow it, right?
So, quick question. Is there an intent that you all are aware of that gives us any information as to why separate the two? So they're saying 65 to 70% of the company is utilized as an animal care facility or within their definition, but just a small portion of it may be classified as a kennel. What is the intent behind the rule such that now the whole business would have to kind of define itself as a kennel? Or
definitionally, I agree. Like, what's, I'm gonna get why is the code and our definitions separate those two things?
Yeah.
What's the point of that? Why would, does that question make sense?
It does. I'm not in the mind of city council as they approved in this. As you remember, the zoning code went through a lot of iterations. I think, and I'll speak from my perspective, I'll just speak from my perspective as the zoning administrator. They function differently. Kennels are overnight. They're not traditionally, I'm not speaking to Dogtopia, but I'm speaking to a traditional kennel. They're not, the dogs are not entertained. They're just located there, which traditionally has resulted in impacts on the neighbors. Therefore, those impacts, I believe, were intended to be reduced by the number of dogs. So that's why if you've got four dogs, it's a limited impact on the adjacent neighbors. Once you get that fifth dog, and I don't know why the number five was inserted, but once by what I read, once you get that fifth dog.
And to me, the five is kind of like saying we have a setback of 15 feet, but we're asking for 20. We do apply numbers in a definition of what a setback. I'm not sure I completely understand the difference between saying, I'm not sure I understand the difference. Everything is, we have the zoning code is definitional, you know, it's outlined, it's prescription for what we allow for and what we don't allow. To me, varying, even though it's a definition we're talking about, it's a limitation on the number of dogs, which to me is the same, it's a number relative to the same number you would have on a setback or anything like that. It's a limitation that has a numerical value. So why can't I vary that? The legal reason why I can't vary that? Just so you know, the hard thing for this board is going against our zoning position. We don't ever like to do that, period.
Well,
I think we've done that.
And we can't legislate.
We can't let, like,
as a body, we can't change the definition of a kennel.
I would much rather talk about a variance that could make this acceptable potentially than I would rather talk about overruling our zoning position.
I think that the reason we don't vary a definition is it's not a definition is not site specific. And if you vary the definition today in this project, now we varied it, that definition for all of the city. And now we've got, if we're varying from 5 up to potentially 40 dogs,
the number of dogs,
then we're going to have 40 dog non-kennels that aren't necessarily being entertained, that aren't necessarily inside overnight. It creates, I followed where you were going, but it leads to potentially someplace we don't want to go.
And you're saying that the fundamental of that is that that's why we're talking about your rule. Your rule on
yes.
Versus. Okay. You all spoken with your neighbors about dogs right there in Holmberg. You're not immediately located next to homes or any other residential structure, but there's other businesses right there next to Aldi.
And if you think they're the veterinarian clinic is kind of catty cornered to this property. And you know, the thing is the old code allowed this to the grandfathered, but they offer overnight boarding in your standard kennel. They even advertise it as kenneling. You've got CG properties up throughout the city in this 3791 area, PetSafe, the one at Rocky Hill.
And I was going to ask that question. So your variance request mentioned other locations, I think, that were approved. Are those, what zoning?
Grandfathered. I think they probably were established to some degree.
Prior to recode?
Prior to recode. Again, you know, I guess the zoning administrator's position is as long as we don't have 5 or more, we meet the definition. Again, I'm trying to go about this the right way. And, you know, it's our position that still falls under that when you apply those principal use standards.
You're not a kennel.
We're not a kennel. I mean, it just doesn't, you know, even when y'all are, anybody's interpreting the zoning ordinance, you still have to apply common sense. And a kennel, I think there was a question as to what do you really consider the difference and why? And Peter got to it. It's the intensity, the dogs barking, the offensive smell, because they're outside overnight, barking all night. And that's why.
Soundproofing, odor control. We have canine coaches that are trained to keep energy levels low, which restricts barking.
Yeah. I think.
Break up scuffles, all that kind of stuff.
I think I understand that as well. The problem is the definition doesn't say if you have these things in place, then it's not going to be considered a kennel. If you have certain sound measures in place, if you have these type of things. On the other hand, I do agree with the sentiment that, you know, as you were explaining earlier, in the traditional sense of a kennel, it doesn't sound like that's what is presented before us. But if I may ask a question, when we talk about the principal use, just so I'm clear, I think that what really got me in one of their documents is like the 65 to 75% or whatever, what have you, of the way that the facility is used. Does that not matter when considering principal use if it's only a set portion of the company that's being utilized as a kennel based off this definition? If it's just such a small portion of the business.
If that small portion is 4 dogs or less,
is that still
we're
principal
good.
Use?
No, it's not. If it's 4 dogs or less, it's not a principal use because it doesn't meet the definition of a principal
gotcha.
Use.
Okay.
Then if it's 4 dogs or less, then it falls into the definition of a small animal care facility.
This is CG, right? CG 2?
3.
CG 3.
They all have the same uses.
Right, which is, it is a mixed use zoning, which can include and often does include I think I get why they thought about the number of dogs under that scenario.
I like the idea of, even though it's not in the code, of differentiating between indoor and outdoor. And that's where I was hoping it was defined better in our zoning ordinance. The unfortunate thing for us is we can't sit here and change the zoning ordinance by approving this variance. Or reversing the interpretation of our zoning administrator. I think it's a good use for this
site. It's a good business model. I don't think it's going to have any negative impact on the community or the neighbors. I think what makes it that way is that it's an indoor, it's overnight indoor boarding. I agree if it's outdoors, more parking, more noise, noxious impact. But
and Grant, that supports, that related to our argument is that animal care facilities overnight has to be inside. So I think maybe to alleviate any concern about if a CG zone was located next to a residential, what's the potential impact of outdoor overnight?
Well, I get the limitation in the zoning code is all I'm pointing out there. Because of the zone that it's in, if you have residential like that and $75 outside parking potentially at night, that would hate that power living upstairs. So that doesn't work. That makes sense to me why there's a limitation on the number of dogs in the definition itself.
And that's what I was saying. It requires you to be indoors overnight. That's, you know, initially I see what Peter was saying. And then the more I got to looking at the principal use standards, I'm saying, why is an animal care facility going through the effort to say, if you're staying overnight, it has to be indoors? To me, and Peter, you know this better than I do, and Brian, I wonder if you look back, I think this and kennels went under a lot of public scrutiny, ended up with a bunch of revisions. And I have a feeling maybe some of the confusion is the revisions meeting kind of the public outcry and public suggestions caused some confusion.
You've got a unique circumstance that was isn't common. I'm satisfied with that. This is a unique circumstance. The code does not actually contemplate because of where it's located. They don't have, you know, the protection in the zoning code outlined. I think I understand, but there's no need for that protection in this particular circumstance. But there's no provision that allows you to then, you know, get approved. Any other comment, city or board question, thought?
What is the process to amend the zoning ordinance to include to define a kennel as outdoor boarding, or to define indoor versus outdoor? That's not addressed here, and I feel like it should be. I can't vote against Peter's definition. He's correct. As the ordinance is written, I can't approve your. Can't approve this variance, but I want to, and I think it needs to be addressed in our zoning ordinance. It needs to accommodate a business model like this. I don't see any reason why it shouldn't be. So, I guess I'd ask the question: What would be that process? How could we facilitate that as a board?
And I have a similar thought too. I'm having a hard time overturning Peter's because the way the definition is written, I think he's right in the interpretation he's given based on the definition. But I don't see any harm to what they're requesting either, like Grant. And so, if there was a way to get a variance in place that would allow this, I'd like to know that. If there's not a way, then I would remind you all that our decisions can be appealed to City Council. And this is one that there's really no harm in what they're asking for. But the way this is brought to us is I don't see how I can say the definition being interpreted is incorrect. There's not enough there to overturn his reading of the code.
I think I agree as well. I've looked at it over and over, and I want to, agree. But when I look at the definition, that last sentence really does exclude kennels. And when I look at the definition of a kennel, it says it if it's over a certain amount, then that's it doesn't include that, right? And so looking at the principal use piece, I think that I think he was right in his interpretation. So that's my final thought.
Can I ask a question a different way? It's okay. The staff. If we approve this appeal of the zoning administrator's definition, would that prompt Planning Commission to revise or City Council to revise the definition? I mean, it sets a precedent, obviously, but would it set a precedent? Would that force the issue with council to define kennel or define the overnight versus not overnight?
That would be a good question for Knox Planning.
We would move for an amendment regardless because we think it needs to be clarified further. So as citizens, you know, Knox County, city of Knoxville.
In terms of that amendment process, I mean, anybody can put a request out there for some kind of an amendment. You know, city and planning staff, of course, work together to figure out what the recommendations would be, if any. And that would move forward to the Planning Commission for a public meeting on it. They'd make a recommendation to City Council, and then, you know, depending on which way City Council goes, if they want to approve it, they approve it on two different readings. Obviously, if it's denied, it just ends there, but that's generally the process.
And I can't recall if we've done it with definitions or interpretations, but I feel like we've done something like that with signage, where we've approved a variance, even though the hardship wasn't there, but we disagreed with the way definition was, or the requirements were, if I recall correctly on that. So I'm just trying to think of a matter of process.
This isn't the first thing that we've found in Recode that needed addressing.
So, something else to keep in mind though as well is, can we talk a little bit about the small animal care facility is permitted in the CH and CR, and the kennel is a special use in CH and CR. So that's commercial regional zoning designations and commercial highway designations. So you could do the business model there as a permitted use for small care animal facility and go through the special use process, which Planning Commission would ultimately make an approval or a denial of. It would grant both of those uses there and allow for the kennel and the boarding of more than five dogs.
In a CH.
In a CH, correct. And a CR. Commercial region.
And I'm
and IMU as well.
Are you suggesting rezoning, or are you just saying that they can find another location?
I'm saying that there are other locations where this is would be permitted. Viable in the city. Yeah. It's unfortunate.
I respect that, but I think this is a viable location. I don't see a problem with this location. I think it's convenient. It's probably
pretty good for beer, and you're not up next to anybody that's going to complain about it, I don't think, right there.
I have a question about the definition.
By the applicant.
Yeah.
I don't know if this, maybe this is not the full definition, but it just says, is it true? It just says where five or more, on which five or more dogs more than 6 months of age are kept. But it doesn't say overnight. I guess I'm wondering why all animal care facilities would not be classified as a kennel if they keep more than five dogs at all.
You ask that again for me. I'm not sure. Apologies.
It doesn't specify at night or during the day, and at least where it's printed here. So I'm trying to understand why it matters that they're kept overnight. It seems like it would basically rule out this being there at all if we followed it strictly, if this is all there is.
So are you trying to say that a doggy daycare would be considered a kennel by definition?
Yes.
I think you might be accurate with that.
Okay.
Which further limits
for clarifying
locations of doggy daycare?
Yeah, well, that does not seem to be consistent with the intent of the definition of animal care facility. It seems contradictory, I guess. How could you ever have an animal care facility in the places where it's allowed, but a kennel is not allowed?
So both kennels, you can never have a period.
Unless it's both. Right, an animal care facility would have to be also a kennel.
Which would always take it out of CG, which would totally annihilate.
If it's more than 4 dogs.
Yeah.
So I'm following your path, but because the animal care facility by definition allows for daytime boarding, that's why we've focused on the overnight.
Allows for what?
So let me read the definition of animal care facility, small animal. An establishment which provides care for domestic animals, including veterinary offices for the treatment of animals, where animals may be boarded during their convalescence, pet grooming facilities, animal training centers and clubs, and facilities where animals are boarded during the day. Animal care facilities do not include animal breeders or kennels. And so by definition, I was following you that a kennel could include all those things, but once we add the definition of an animal care facility, small animal, and it
basically
extracts,
gives a during the day exception.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. If you guys could pull your microphones down, I think we're missing some things for the record.
So are you saying that kennel would be the overarching definition? I mean, the small, what is it called again? Sorry, y'all. The animal care facility, small animal ordinance. So are you saying that would be the overarching definition?
I think.
And then the kennel would be like this underneath that umbrella, so to speak. Is that what you're saying?
No. I think Board Member Buhler was trying to make the claim that exactly what you said. A kennel encompasses all these things. And why are we allowing kennels? And my response was, by definition, the animal care facility retracts and allows for daytime boarding. So because the animal care facility has a more specific definition, it eliminates that daytime boarding from a kennel.
I see what you're saying. I get it.
And that's why we're here.
Okay.
And just for a little more context, for the purpose statements of the general commercial, there's some language in there that talks about why it's in CG 1, 2, and 3. It gradually goes up in intensity. And this is 2. And the Homburg area is more, I think they've zoned it that way for the pedestrian language that's spoken into the CG language purpose statement. CGCH specifically says that it's intended to ensure mitigation against of any potential impacts. So once you step up to that, it talks about the impacts on your neighbors, and that's why. So it gradually goes up. Homburg is more the lower CG for potential or for pedestrian, that type uses. And that's in the purpose statements of the commercial districts at the beginning. So just a little more context of why there's CG, the levels of CG 1, 2, 3, and then also the CGH, where you get a little further down Kingston Pike in this case, around Bearden Hill, then you're into the your auto repair, your drive through facility, that type of thing. Just more context from the purpose.
I don't have a problem with this in a downtown. Be one of these on Gay Street. I think that the overnight outdoor, I think is a legitimate definition that doesn't exist right now. You know, I think it's a distinction that ought to be made in our zoning ordinance, because I think it addresses a lot of the intensity of use impact on the surrounding neighborhood. But
you know, people could be walking their dogs there. It doesn't have to be a drop a drive. You know, I assume a lot of folks are driving and dropping off, but, you know, I've used a facility similar to this in North Knoxville, Royal Bark, right? You know, and, you know, it's a, it's a good model. It's a good service. I think this is a good location for it. But,
so I guess one last effort was is kind of looking at this and kind of looking at some of the historical language of the different iterations of this. Yeah, my position would be is that the intent was to allow something like this. And somewhere, you know, somewhere there was some confusion created, but with the intention to be to allow something like this, because again, the special use standard says you got to go inside. No dogs are going to be outside bothering, barking, carrying on like they can in the kennels. And I do think it's intended to be permitted. And, you know, that's why we request and then move to, for the approval so that we can move forward and then go forward with the zoning amendment, but can go forward with this current location.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. That motion is to deny this variance request, which upholds the decision. It's the motion on the table. I'm also going to say quickly, I agree with what Taylor just said, except to the extent that they limited dogs specifically. I think the intent of that, if I'm hearing the code right, is for dog serve animal services more so than kenneling. And as soon as you do kenneling, definitionally, you're crossing the line, which is what Peter is saying. And that's why I don't feel like we can overturn his interpretation of the code. And that being said, I think this would be a fine use in that location, and I don't really like feeling like I can't say yes to it, because this would be a great location for your business there. And I would encourage you all to do what you can to go after changing the code or getting city council to work with me on that. So that's my motion, and I'll look for a second.
I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to that motion. As a board, if it pleases the rest of the board, that we could ask MPC to, or city council to evaluate and make a distinction between overnight and, I'm sorry, between indoors and outdoors as it relates to a kennel. I think that would help solve this issue going forward. And I realize we can't make that decision here as a board, but I want to go ahead and get it on the record if the maker of the motion would agree.
Absolutely. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Or
I'll make a motion to second that as presented. As far as comments, I will say this was a difficult decision, but I agree with the rest of the board. And it was a comment made earlier about there are other areas in which this can be accommodated. And I think that to me, that said something. It's not that it's not ever allowable. There are places that the code deems it necessary or you can do it in, just not this location, which is unfortunate. But I think there's a reason why. I mean, that gives me a little bit insight into the intent. But with that being said, I'm going to second the motion as presented.
Motion and a second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None opposed. Thank you.
So no vacancy goes on at 4?
What's that?
No vacancy light goes on at 4?
At 4?
For the overnight.
Oh, yeah.
No room at the inn.
As soon as the sun goes down.
Thank you.
I hate being against dogs. That should not be allowed.
Yeah. Draw the line somewhere.
Principally. Yeah. 9D21VA is our next variance request. It's 945 Dameron Avenue. Matthew Jordan, if you're here, speak to this. Any further comments from the city on this variance request?
No further comments.
Right, no further comments. Thank you. Rusty, name and address for the record, please, sir.
Rusty Baxa, Land Development Solutions, 310 Simmons Road, Knoxville, 37922.
Tell us about your request, please, sir, and the nature of your hardship.
All right. I've got also just with me is Matt Jordan, and he's the architect on the project, and Rebecca Fetzer, who is the director of the Susanna House.
Thank you.
So our project is, our request is a request for variance of the lot coverage.
And our hardship is the grade of the property. We've got a very steep grade, which doesn't allow us to park in front of the buildings. So we've had to have a driveway go down to the back of the project, and we're parking on the backside. And that's got us over our lot coverage.
Okay. Good. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? I don't see anybody else here to speak in opposition. What questions and comments do we have on this variance request?
I just have a matter of disclosure. My mother-in-law sits on the board of Susanna House, so there's no conflict, but I wanted to disclose that for the record.
Above and beyond.
I will say I think it's a pretty reasonable request based on the topography of the site. We have some constraints, legitimate hardship based on the definition. I would make a motion we approve. Welcome any further discussion, though.
There is a motion on the table to approve. I'll second for the purposes of having further discussion. Motion and a second to approve. Any question or comment from the board?
No, I think the variance is not too substantial or too far removed from what is currently required. And so I think we should move forward with the motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries, it's approved.
Thank you
all very much. All right, that was 9E21BA from earlier in our meeting. Wait, no more. 9E21BA. 3841 Wood Hill Place. Speak to this? I don't think so. Seeing no one, make a motion to postpone 9E21BA to our next month's meeting, which will be October meeting.
We add 9-A-21.
Yeah, we'll do that sometime. Well. I was going to do a separate vote for those. Yep. And we'll also postpone 9A21BA to the October 2021 meeting.
Second.
Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. Motion carries. This will be on next month's agenda. No further. Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Dog's just not going to look at me the same when I get home tonight.